on the road going this way, dirt road. It was a dirt road. But anyway, our house was, I guess, the closest house that would be to the club. And so there had been some complaints from the neighbors about the possibility of this happening. So Wendell came down to my house and asked me if I would meet with him the next day. He wanted me to take a look at what he had and get my opinion of what I thought. And so I came up the next day, later in the afternoon, and he turned on the lights and turned all the big lights down low and then turned all the all different colored lights that were flashing, and it was in the corner over here. And then he had a bandstand back up this way. And then he had music he played from the record. So he was had it all in full action. And he's asking me, what do you think? What do you think? And I said, well, I think you're in trouble. And so when we got through and all, we sat down and talked. And I told him, I said, the neighborhood's not going to allow this. And I said, I can tell you, I've already met with some of the people, and it'd be more of us meeting together. And I said, we're going to be opposing it all the way. So that's the last information that I had to pass along to him. That's the only meeting I had with him.
About what year was that?
Don't give me no
time. Okay.
That was
early 70s.
Yeah, it was before we even knew that this would be a church. That time is.
Will you pass the mic there? Yeah.
Yeah, right back of here was a little small airport, and the plane was landing there all the time. No, instead of hearing church music, we was listening to all this honky tonk and carrying on, and planes flying, and it was terrible. It was, y'all could hear it too, couldn't you?
I don't recall having ever heard it.
Oh, you were too young.
any other memories of Club Shalimar that anybody wanted to share? One of the things that I've heard spoken of too in the past are names that were considered for the church. It was Trinity Presbyterian. Does somebody recall some of the other names that were considered during that period? Let me pass a mic. Pass a mic. New Jerusalem was one. Hilltop.
Okay.
Windy Hill, Westminster. Okay. Yeah, if y'all take that mic off there and y'all can just pass it around. Say that again, Mary Tate.
Oh, hello. Trinity. I didn't vote for Trinity because we already had a Trinity in town. And even now, you meet people and they say, well, I'll go to Trinity. Which Trinity? There are two Trinities. Mm-hmm. But see, I wanted it. I've forgotten the name of it. Okay. But anyway, I was voted down. Here we go. I don't know how to do this.
I know that that was a very difficult period of time, and one of the things that we looked at in Acts 4 this morning was the theme that when Christ is faithfully proclaimed, that often is accompanied with opposition, a cost. Can some of you speak to the cost that was involved, and maybe not financially, but also emotionally, and the sacrifice that was made to come out and make the decision to form this church. Tom, could you speak a little bit to that?
Well, that was some interesting times with the things going on. What was said in the bulletin today, I thought was, you know, explained a lot. We were struggling with being with a home church, being with a denomination that had been there for a lot of years, a lot of roots and a lot of family and different types of things. And there again, I'm a transplanted. I grew up in Mobile at a big PCUS church called Government Street Presbyterian, which is in the historic register, about a 2,000 member church, and then went to Auburn. And my first experience to a Presbyterian church in Auburn was Auburn First Presbyterian, which was so far removed from what I believed and understood, and what we have now, even sometimes, that you maybe go to a service and not have to have your Bible or not to have, you know, scriptures read. And that was so foreign to me that I'd go home to Mobile a lot of times to go back to church while I was in school. And then we found First Presbyterian in Opelika and started attending there. And so many saints, as has been mentioned, came before us there. But there again, when you separate from denominations, it goes all the way deep. And there were some deep feelings, some heated discussions. But the faithfulness to God's word, and if you can't believe that Jesus was born of Mary, you know, there's a there's a real problem. And we just felt like that we needed to get closer to God and closer to his word, and that was the roots of the PCA. And so, yeah, it was, we met in, at Lee Scott Academy for a period of time. I'm trying to remember. 6 weeks. Scott Academy. Yeah, it's the Scott Academy back then. Yeah. Walter Rice's house. There were a lot of different meetings, a lot of different things, and then there was just so many good Christian families that, and God has been so faithful to, you know, keep us together, keep us true to his word, and let us grow. And if you look at everything in church demographics, if you look at what's been done with the school, all you can say is it's God's faithfulness. Because demographically, this church, if you look at all the studies and all the, you know, the educations, this church shouldn't be here. We're not on the beaten path, you know. If you look at church planning and all the powers of be that would say this is not where you would plant a church, you know, this is just not it. But God has been faithful. Yeah, too close to the first bit. And Ira needs to speak to some of that stuff around the roots.
He don't want to tell all that.
Well, I had been raised in First Presbyterian Church and my family before me. So it was a difficult decision for me to decide we would leave. There's so many people over there that had been part of my past, the Smith T's, the Boyds, the Deans. It was very, very traumatic. And it wasn't that First Presbyterian Church was a liberal church, because it was not. It was a church that believed in the Word of God and preached the Word of God. But the denomination, the Presbyterian Church U.S., it strayed so far from what we believe that we felt like something had to be done. And Dick Teague and Mr. Buck and several others who kept up with the infighting in the denomination, on the denomination level, said, well, a new church is coming along, one that believes in the Word of God. It's very, very conservative. We need to be a part of that. And when the word was initially put out, that was almost 100% reaction in favor of this. I was on the diaconate at First Presbyterian at that time. One member of the diaconate voted against leaving PCUS and joining the PCA. There was no dissension on the session. And yet, when it came time to vote on it, there were quite a number of people opposed. So a compromise was worked out. We would be allowed to leave the church, and we would be given the manse as our part of the church properties. And whatever money was in the bank was divided evenly between First Presbyterian Church and our new church. So the people at First Presbyterian treated us as fairly as is possible to be treated. And I've always had a warm spot in my heart for that congregation. It's changed over the years. A lot of the people that I knew there, the families that I knew there, are gone. But nonetheless, they behaved towards us as true Christians should behave towards brothers and sisters in Christ.
What percentage would you say stayed and came out?
I think probably about 30-35% stayed and 65-70% left. Hmm. And I think we had our first organizational meeting at First Baptist Church. For whatever reason, Ray and I weren't there. I don't know what conflict we might have had, but I think that was the organizational meeting at First Baptist Church.
You were at the Club Shalimar.
Well, Dick called the day after that we came out. That we came out on a Sunday. And Dick T called, what's his name? What was his name?
Jim Baird?
No. Anyway, he was in South Carolina. Who was the preacher there?
John Holmes.
John Holmes. No, not John. John was a preacher. John. No, you don't know who he is. Anyway, he came the next day, and we had that meeting at First Baptist Church.
Paul Settle,
okay. That's it. And we have a photograph of them together and at that night. And a good number of our people came out, and we were all in favor. But now talk about leaving. I thought, oh, it's going to be so bad. It's going to be so bad. When we left, I said, oh, Lord, thank you.
Any other? Tom.
On a lighter side, when we were having discussions at First Pres, and they brought in all these different people, pro and con. It's funny. I was just about to stay with it because I didn't want to leave. I was just brand new then. I was only been there a year or two, and I was just getting all settled in. And then this person came. For pro, he was supposed to be there to convince us to stay in the church, and everything he said was, well, I know things are hard right now, I know we don't do this and I know we don't do that, but things are going to change. And I thought, yeah, well, that's what we're trying to do. And everything he said to try to convince me to stay only did the opposite. Convinced me they don't even know where they're standing. You know, they don't know where they stand. They're unsure. So I'll go with these people that seem to know what they're doing. And another lighter moment was choir. No matter where we met, at Scott Academy or anything like that, we'd go practice, have choir practice in people's homes, and we had a little choir. And that just meant so much to me.
That I was going to say too, it was hard to leave some of the families at First Presbyterian, especially the Smith D's. It was heartbreaking. But when we got up here, you should have seen this place. I mean, it was unreal. Women, men, children, everybody worked together. Nobody was complaining. It was just, I don't know if it's ever been that way again, but I mean, everybody knew they had to pull together.
That was a honeymoon.
And it may not ever be that way ever, but it was at that time, because that's what it took. Everybody had to pitch in.
We got 30.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You going to talk about what I did to you?
No, I didn't. No,
Mary Jane.
What I wanted to say was, this was basically what we had, a little bit farther back too. And it wasn't quite this big, but it was, this wall was pink, this one is green, this one's red, and we came up on Saturday, and we had the best time. We really got to know each other better than we had before, some of us did, but it was such a joyous time for us when we did move. It was great. Mm.
Miss Pat, I think, yeah. Pat Turner.
A couple of things I want to say. First of all, that Ira and his brother Charles owned the property at the time, and they made us a real good price. And then the second thing I've thought about is that Walter Rice Jr. was a member of this church. He was a contractor, and he did most of the basic work for us to have Sunday school and have a fellowship hall and, you know, the things that had to be done. And then I'd like to move forward a little bit about teaching Sunday school. And Von Seal taught Sunday school. Mary Jane taught Sunday school.
Not adults.
No, we're all talking about children. And Ray, we had a little assembly, and Ray would play for us. Well, one Sunday, Mary Jane wasn't there who could sing, and Ray wasn't there. And Ruth Royal and I were holding forth, and Ruth couldn't sing much better than I could. And so I thought, okay, I remembered that they said that it'd be a quiet forest if only the best birds sang. So we got it done, but the Lord was with me that day.
Larry Humphrey, you shared a story about a particular special spiritual significance of this location. Would you mind telling us a little bit about that?
What was that now?
What this meant to you and your conversion, this church, and
okay.
This particular location.
Okay, I will. Yes, I was little.
How old were you at the time? Do you mind me asking?
I was born at a very young age.
Okay.
I really don't remember what it was. I'll just give y'all my testimony there. I was, my mom and dad, you know, I knew loved Jesus from the very beginning. And Miss Mary Jane Teague and Miss Pat Turner here were my teachers in the first and second grade. I don't remember which one in Sunday school. I'm so thankful I get choked up sometimes. So if y'all forgive me if I do. And then I had a black teacher in the sixth grade, Miss Burl C. Jones. I don't know if any of y'all knew her or not. Very big lady, very wonderful lady. I was not a bad kid, but there were several days that I got to stay after school. And I sort of found out the reason I was staying after, because she told me about Jesus after I did that. And I thought about that today. Don't be afraid to tell Jesus to people. Do it wherever you are, because she did it for me right over here at Martin School. But that was the sixth grade, and at that time there was a guy named Wally Bromberg up here. Eric and Lee and Ira and me, it was a Sunday afternoon. I think it was, I've got it written down in my Bible. It was April, so. Yeah, Buster. But we were in this little room right over here. It's where the air conditioners are. And it was a little half room. And that's the day that I gave my life to the Lord. And so it will always be a special place for me. This church means a lot to me because I've grown a lot since then, and I've seen a lot of people come through and grow. And I just hope that that God will keep using me in the way that he sees fit.
Let me tell you.
Okay. No, go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. Ms. Teague.
Okay. The first wedding here, We came in this building, wasn't it February? January or February, we moved into this building. And the first wedding was our daughter, Barbara, and Jim. And that muddy road up there, I think Mr. Buck arranged that muddy road was turned into concrete or whatever it is for the wedding, because, you know, some people did come to the wedding. And another thing about that wedding, Jim's father loved his son so much, he was best man. And Jim's, you know, father-in-law. But he was not emotional at all. John Holmes, the preacher, had a beautiful singing voice. And she had asked him to sing at the wedding, and he was doing it. Well, John and Ann, one or the other, taped that singing and the whole program, I think it was. And so we never got the tape for 2 years. And when we got the tape, we heard, that was the daddy crying.
If y'all would pass the mic down to the young guys on the end here. Lee, to me, when we talk about covenant theology and generational ministry, the Weisingers stand out as an example of that. The Humphreys, I mean, several of the charter members up here are third generation now we see in our church growing up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Lee, could you tell us a little bit about the spiritual significance of growing up in this church and why your family's still here 35 years later?
Yeah. I guess it was really good to grow up here in church, and of course I can remember hearing the debate. I was 8 when this happened, or something, 73, I was 8, something in that range there. So obviously I wasn't real involved in the discussion, but was just hearing the adults talk about that. I can remember hearing my father and my uncle specifically talking about it, and that it was obviously a very serious thing. And then for us to separate from this church with a lot of good people, there was a good reason for it. And of course, we knew of this as kids growing up in the neighborhood over here. We knew of this place up here as a teen club of some sort. But so it was a nice mysterious place to us. I can remember coming to see it. You know, we came up the hill. It was a dirt drive and everything, and coming to see it. But of course, we've had some great people here and great teaching with John Holmes as our first pastor here, and then we had the Barnes family, Tom Barnes, and Tom was from a country boy from Mississippi who spoke the word of God. That's the heritage of the godly preaching and godly teaching. The whole time has been a great thing. It's a great legacy. And so I guess we're here. Of course, I married Janelle and couldn't get away from here. But it has been a blessing, because when we first got married, there was only one other child Harrison's age, no other children. The nursery had long since been pretty much abandoned. There were just no other children. Okay, one child. Yeah. And so then of course that had cycled back around, and that was in the early 90s. There were no children here. But it's just been a blessing to have Dr. Doyle as a pastor, although I think he originally resisted our call and then came around to it. And then having Mike here, and then having Chris and then Bruce join us just recently. So it's been a blessing. And then, of course, I think this curriculum that we have right now, this covenantal curriculum, is just a great curriculum that the children are learning. It just kind of ties it all together. All the Sunday schools are working kind of to the same purpose. Did that answer the question?
Absolutely. Ms. Humphrey?
Well.
Thoughts, memories?
Well, it was not an easy time when we left the other church because of the fact that we were leaving such wonderful people. And now I taught in Sunday school with Dozier's grandmother, and I think I've told most everybody that Dozier's grandmother had more influence on my life than anybody else except my own mother. And it was really hard to leave them. It really was, but I just am so thankful for the teaching that I had, that I learned from the older ladies in the church. And you won't believe this, but Alan and the Rickles and the Humphreys and the Weisingers used to be the young people in the church. But of course, that's not the way it is now. But we did have some mighty, mighty godly ladies that taught the younger ladies so many things. And I am just so thankful for all of that I got to be in on. I don't remember when the driveway was paved, but
April of the year that we moved in.
The driveway? Well, it was a while, because I know when my daughter got married here, that was in 1988, and we had an ice storm, and a bad ice storm. And I can remember Tom Barnes saying, well, what if we can't get up the driveway for the wedding? And Joyce said, well, we'll just get married at the end of the driveway. But it's been a lot of good memories.
Okay, I figure I'll give the teenage interpretation.
Yes.
I just wanted to say, of course, my mother and I, we did whatever Mr. Buck or Mr. Billy Hitchcock said. Now, that was just the bottom line of it. They had always been so good to us. And I'll never forget, we did go to the meeting where it split apart, and it just broke my heart. I'll never forget that, because just like Mr. Winston and all them, I grew up with everybody. So anyway, it was very hard. I do remember this being the nightclub, although I was a good girl till I met Phil. And I know it. My mother still lives up there on the old end of India, and we were not allowed on the dirt part. Even if we were teenagers, we were not allowed. So we knew it was here, but I had never been here. But, you know, it was just everybody that I grew up with has been a blessing. And then I'm going to go on with Miss T, because her daughter was the first person married here, and Phil and I were the second couple married here. And we were talking about the chandeliers are still the same. There's a lot different. The walls were yellow. My wedding was done in yellow and green, so we blend in with all the color of the church. And that day, we got married on July the 7th. Now, my mother had bought me a wedding gown on sale in the catalog that was a winter gown because it was on sale. Well, the air conditioner went out, and it was hot. It was real hot, but that's all right. It's lasted almost 35 years, so we'll take a hot wedding.
Larry, any memories you'd like to share with us, Larry McIntosh?
We won't tell anybody. At the old church where I was raised, some of you former charter members can correct me if I'm wrong, we had pulled 180 members out of the church, plus the pastor, and left them with just a church and no preacher. But there was one family in that church that meant a lot to me, and that was the Smithies. Better known as Miss Edith and Mr. Winston, and their younger son, Winston Jr., and his sister, Dr. Smith T, and her younger sister that was a drum major in the high school band. But that's about it.
Years, I can count five members, women members of our church, who were the drum major. One of them was Susan, but they were all members of this church. And Katrina was, yeah, Katrina, that's right.
Kelly.
Yeah.
Jim Royal.
Yeah.
Jim Royal.
Kelly.
Yeah.
At one particular time, my youngest daughter, Mary, and Kelly were probably the smallest children. And the youngest children, Mary was the first baby baptized, I think, in this church.
We used to have a babysitter on choir night, so babysit Kelly, so we could have Judy and William both.
For choir. We had so many folks join us coming up through, and I was just thinking about, again, faith. And we had an awfully small, kind of pitiful nursery. And, you know, it's kind of like Field of Dreams. If you build it, they'll come. And Alan and some of these folks ended up, every time we did something, we just kind of got called or have faith. We used to have something called Faith Promise where we supported missionaries. And this church has always given a large percentage of what funds it had to missions or to the school or to whatever we felt like. It has always been a commitment to tithe and give offerings in addition to the tithe outside of this church. And historically, that's been one of the things we've always done. But and back at that time, it was a thing called Faith Promise. The school was a faith ministry. Because there's truly times, talking about what you mentioned, financial, and Ira's been treasurer, and William's treasurer, and I was treasurer at different times, and you know, we've been through times we didn't know when we were going. We just trusted the Lord to make the next salary or payroll or whatever there was to make, and it's always been there. You just do what's right, and you do what you think God calls you to do, and it may not make sense necessarily, except that that's what God's calling you to do, and if you have faith in Him and you look to His Word and the wisdom in His Word, it seems to work out. So we built a nursery, and sure enough, we have children, you know.
Okay, at one time we had one male in the choir, and it was Larry. Thank you, Larry.
And then you look at what we had today, and that's quite a testimony, you know, from where you start with a little bit and how God blesses it and brings good folks and just a real good fellowship of believers. It's really always been part of faith. Separation was a step of faith, and buying the property, and like you said, the India Road was a dirt road when we built our house in 75, and it's on the kind of the end of India Road, and it was still a dirt road, and that turned out to be a good investment. We didn't know. We were from Mobile and just decided to move toward Opelika and picked out a lot and bought a lot in an area that we didn't know for sure what it would ever develop, but it turned out to be another good step of faith.
Who were the first missionaries?
First missionaries from our church was Dick and Mary Jane. And there again, we had folks that did go to Nigeria and to the ends of the earth, really. To
I think Mrs. What was the name? Nell Lyles. She had been a missionary before when it was the other denomination. But then, did we have any others? I don't think so. Of course, Terry's here. Where are you, Terry? Terry, there's you. Yeah.
Terry.
Anyway, there are a lot of them now. All of them good.
Miss Owen, any memories, thoughts you'd like to share?
I don't think I need that microphone. An audible voice.
Well, we're trying to record it, though. So, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
I never
shouldn't have told you that.
We were not members of First Presbyterian Church. Jim and I and our children had just moved to Opelika. We attended First Presbyterian Church because of the good biblical teaching that was there. Winston Smith P. was my Sunday school teacher. Jim and I had watched with great anticipation the coming of a new denomination being formed. The Mayfield household was absolutely jubilant. We stopped short of dancing, but it was a marvelous thing. It was the right thing to do. There was a great deal going on historically in the culture. The homeschool movement was just beginning. Brave souls across this country stood up against the Leviathan of the federal government. The Christian school movement was just beginning, and we had a brand new biblical denomination. It was a joyful time. I cannot even begin to tell you. I avoided getting into discussions about it because I'm very opinionated, and I was about that. And so the idea was we had not left the denomination. The denomination had left us.
Go ahead, Eric.
I remember probably 1972 or so, riding a dirt bike around, kind of sneaking past the gate at the bottom of the hill, and riding the dirt bike around the new club. And later on, once the club got going, me and a couple of friends spent the night in the woods. We lived on Crosley Avenue, about two blocks from here. And it was all woods and dirt road. And after the campfire started to go out, we got bored and decided to, we could hear the music from the club. And so we ventured down the dirt road and kind of came up to the top of the hill and peeked, and there were cars everywhere. We started walking back down to the bottom of the hill, and we just thought, you know, what can we do for fun? So there was a gate at the bottom of the hill, and we locked the gate. And we left, and I guess that was our attempt at fighting some DUIs that might have happened. So I'm sure that the leader, Wendell Webb or somebody, unlocked the gate and let the crowd out later on, I'm sure. But that was a little fun we had. Thanks. But I remember shortly after the church was formed, I remember standing with John Holmes and Ira III, known as Buster. We stood up in front of the church and made our public profession of faith. And then I remember highs and lows. That was a high. Then in 1983, I was diagnosed with Hodgkin's disease and started a fight for my life. And with the support of the church and a lot of prayer, I won that battle. And I remember being out in Arizona and being with my uncle and my aunt, because he was a surgeon and a great doctor. But I was basically by myself. I didn't even know them that well. But I remember getting a little rolled-up tube from the youth group, and it was a banner that they had made, and every one of them signed it with with prayers and funny things and wishes. And I mean, I remember Ira had drawn a station wagon on it that was kind of hot rotted up. Made me laugh. So that was a great time. And in 1994, I was married here, which was one of the probably the greatest day of my life. And that was definitely a high. And then, of course, last year, viral infection attacked me on December 18th and started another fight for my life. And I've never seen such a outpouring of prayer and support, and certainly with the support of this church and the Lord brought me through it. And it's been a privilege to raise my family in this church and have a nice conservative church that believes the Bible word for word and doesn't wonder whether or not we should conform to society. And it's been a real blessing.
We have about 10 minutes left. We're going to stop at 15 after. Any final thoughts? And I thought we might open it to the class, the congregation here, and see if there are any questions. Yes, Ms. T. We pass the mic. Yeah. There's two, so let's not. Yeah, here you go. Let's use that one.
I talk too much, but anyway. How many of you know who Dr. Schaefer was?
Francis Schaefer.
Francis mm-hmm. Schaefer. Mm-hmm. He meant a lot in our denomination. He was a teacher and a leader in conservative Presbyterianism, which is the Bible. Well, Dick and I guess because of Betty Thomas, but we were going to Europe, and we're going to drive. And I wanted to go to Lavrie. Betty Thomas told me all about Lavrie. So we had just read that book about Lavrie, and Dick was, you know, liked it a lot and all that, but I would get the book, and I'd open it to certain pages, you know, that were about Lavrie. And every now and then it would change, and still Lavrie and all that. And then Dick said, well, I thought he would say, it's too far off the beaten road. He said, why don't we go to Lavrie? And we did. And we met Dr. Schaefer. And what was the name of this denomination the first year? Something like Washington State.
Continuing or National Presbyterian?
National Presbyterian. Okay. So he said to us, said, well, what church do you belong to? And we said, National Presbyterian Church. He said, that's the one to belong to.
Any questions from the congregation? Yes, Daniel.
Why did we choose this property to have the church?
Why did we choose this property to have the church? Ira, you want to?
Well, someone stated that my brother and I owned the property. We did, but there was a third party. Judge Scott Jr. also owned an interest, and we'd intended to subdivide it. It was about 2.5 acres. Wendell Webb owned all this land and everything on both sides of India Road. And at some point after his team club failed, he decided to divest himself of all this property, so he platted it and then sold it and had a big auction. The reason that we bought this property was it was about 2.5 acres, had a building on it, and we felt like we could make some money off it. But Walter Rice Jr. came to us and wondered if we would be willing to sell the property for the use by the church, since my brother Charles and I both were members, and we agreed to do so. So that's how we came to buy this property. We owned it. We agreed to sell it for what we had purchased it for.
Other questions?
There's one thing I want to.
Sure, we pass that down to Ms. Turner there, Pat Turner.
Nobody has mentioned that Diane was the first person that taught in our school. Mm-hmm. And I remember her one time saying, she said, I teach all week, so I don't feel guilty not teaching on Sunday, and I don't blame her.
Diane Rickles.
Well, I would like to say one thing about the school.
contrary to popular opinion, the school was not started just because Tom Barnes' child needed a school. And that's what was going around for a while when we first started. The only reason why y'all have a school is because Tom Barnes' child needed one. Our church had several school committees that had looked for years into starting a school, and much research had gone on even before Tom Barnes. John Holmes was instrumental in starting this as well. And the school actually started in 1978 with 5 students. And Claire Barnes was one of the students. But it has grown significantly, as you well know, and have over 200 members. Sharon, how many do we have, class students? About 212. So we've been very blessed, and I feel like it's because we have been faithful to God that He has been faithful to us and has blessed our school with wonderful faculty, great administrators, and a wonderful school committee that's been so faithful in bailing us out and helping us along and guiding us along the way.
I'd like to echo one thing Charlotte said. We were so blessed by the older godly women in this church. I think of Larry's mother, Eloise, Ruth Royal, just Mary Olive Martin, so many. And we were young and thought we knew everything, and they gently took us under their wings and taught us that there were wiser, better ways to love our husband and raise our children. And I will forever be thankful for those men.
Any other questions from the congregation?
Could I have a closing thought?
Absolutely. Ted Birchfield, closing thoughts. And any others that have closing thoughts, we'll wrap up here in just 3 or 4 minutes.
I just want to pass on a funny thing that happened. Billy Hitchcock and I were standing outside the church one Sunday, and I don't know at what particular time, church was not going on, but the preacher's son came out the side door, and he looked at Billy Hitchcock, and he said, "Mr. Hitchcock," said, "you are a liar." Billy turned to me. He said, "Did you hear what he said?" I said, "I heard it." And he turned and he looked back, and his son, the little boy, said, "Mr. Hitchcock, I said you were a liar." I said, "Boy, is he asking for it?" Anyway, Billy was a little hot-headed, but he believed in discipline. So he went down and spanked the preacher's son. And the little boy, the way he hollered, it sounded like it was the first one he'd ever had. And he told him, "I'm going to get my daddy." Billy says, "Go get him, and I'll give him some of it too." That's all I have.
Well, how about in closing, would any of you like to speak to, let's say, my daughter's 35 years from now? What's the lasting legacy of Trinity Presbyterian Church? Ira, would you maybe say a few words?
Well, I guess, probably the lasting legacy of Trinity Presbyterian Church is that in my own family, it's taught me that there has to be continuity. There has to be an emphasis on worshiping every Sunday and making the church and Sunday worship a vital part of your life. I know that on trips that we've made to various places throughout the world, on Sundays you see stores open, you see people shopping, and you think, there's something missing here. Why aren't these people worshiping? This was in Scotland and in Wales, places where traditionally you think of these people as being church-attending, church-going people, and yet that wasn't the case anymore. I think that the legacy of Trinity is that we have a solid foundation. We have families that are devoted to this church. We have families that intend to raise their families in the church. And this tradition passes on to the children of the family. And as they come forward, they too will want to raise their children as part of the church. Maybe not Trinity, because they may not be here anymore, but in a church. And I think that's one of the greatest blessings to me of Trinity, that it's given us a continuity in our family, continuity of worship.
Anyone else before we close? Yes, if you'd pass it to...
I think another legacy is faith first. That's one thing we always learn, no matter what sermon is preached. It's faith in God comes before everything. And our families are taught the priority is love Christ first, and all else will follow.
The other thing I think is truth, and truth to God's word and to scriptures. The legacy that we have is a sovereign God that gave his son for our sins, and to spread that to all that come after us, and to look to his word to live our lives. And if we can have, as Iris so well said, the faith and faithfulness to do that, he will be faithful to us. And if we can leave the world with Christ, that's what we would want to do.
We had three children who, Susan didn't actually grow up in this church, but anyway, they know that, and certainly know everything that Deke did, which is the Bible. But it's been such a wonderful thing for our family, and it has kept us together. It's been some ups and downs, always looking to the Lord, and this has been the glue for us.
Well, in closing, let me just say on behalf of the congregation, thank you, and God bless you for your faithfulness 35 years ago and for your faithfulness today. And we do not forget the legacy upon which we stand with this generation and hundreds, thousands of years that have gone before us. God is always faithful to his church, and he always has a witness, and we are privileged to be a part of that. Larry Humphrey, would you take the mic and close this session in prayer, please, sir?
Let's pray. Lord, we thank you again for this day. We do thank you for the last 35 years, Lord, and we pray that the next 35 years will be just as faithful, that we will obey you, and Lord, that the people that are up here, when 70 years comes, will be able to tell of what this church has meant to them. Lord, we want to remember that this church, though, will pass away one day, and that we will spend eternity with you. We ask that each one of us will do our part in leading those others to you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Gosh, I suddenly feel very old.
Your memory's hanging on like your mama. You know, I always thought that woman was
That was John Holmes' oldest son.
I told him not to say that.
I didn't know that story.
The Holmes children were the worst children up here. But he had one spanking. said, tell your daddy to come back, and I'll give him some too.